Thank you very much. Also for the organizers for the invitation. It's a pleasure to talk at this event for two main reasons. One is that our journeys met every few years. I think first we worked with Ognjen in one of the secret projects when I used to work at Stucky before EGI, and then I was, I think, external advisor of the VI Sim project or something. Yeah. So now, yeah, that's where I said that sentence about the mini EOSC. Yeah. So it's great to be here. And the second reason is because 25 years ago, I passed the English language exam in the basement of this building. That was the first time I came here. And this just reminded me that 25 years ago, I wanted to learn English. Didn't know why. I didn't have in mind that I will give lectures about the infrastructures. I had no clue about the infrastructures back then. And that's just, I see a similarity here. All of the projects and initiatives that are presented today have the common vision in mind that we need to implement open science. We need to put in place infrastructures that enable researchers to conduct open science. And I think the small boxes that we tick in each of these projects, we will see in 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, whatever, that we actually implement open projects and make open science possible. Just like that small test for me 25 years ago helped me to be on the stage now and speak to everybody in English. So I just give you a brief overview of the EGIS project, which is one of the projects on the EOSC landscape, started nearly 2 years ago. And the focus here is on computing, and I put compute continuum here, which just refers to the diversity of compute capabilities that open science requires and how we try to bring all those capabilities under a coherent umbrella in order to level out the playing field for everyone. So the vision that I'm sharing with you here is not segmenting Europe into Nordics and Balkans and others. It's more about leveling out the playing field, giving the same opportunities for everyone in research, no matter in which country they are residing. So I will present that with that mentality, and please keep that in mind. The EGIS project is a flagship for the EGI Federation, which is an international infrastructure federation. We have common ground through many partners that are in the NIFOS project as well. First, GRNET, which is a foundational member of the EGI infrastructure there since the beginning. And many other institutes that are in the NIFOS are also partners or consortium members in the EGIS. The project itself is very much focused on the delivery of compute capabilities, and that is reflected on the project budget as well. Almost half of the budget is giving funding for compute centers to serve users, and then the payment is based on the actual usage. So we are measuring the usage quite radically in this project. The other key activity in the project is to work with scientific communities who want to build compute-intensive thematic applications on top of this. So our focus is on open science use cases that are compute-intensive. Okay, if you are from a research community that is happy to work on a laptop in an Excel, then probably this is not your playing field. We are working much more on communities where the data is big or diverse and need to be brought together on significant compute capabilities. The project delivers a huge portfolio of services. I'm not showing them. We have 35 entries in the EOSC marketplace. So similarly to the NIFOS, we are also dominant provider on that playing field. The services we provide are fundamentally infrastructure services, then kind of compute platform services that ease the access to the computing capacity, and then thematic application services. And under the hood, we have in the infrastructure layer research clouds provided by academic or publicly funded research institutes. These are very much OpenStack based, so if you are an IT technologist, you know what OpenStack is. We have two commercial partners, T-Systems and Cloudflare. We have high throughput computing clusters more tuned for the massively parallel applications. And we have a few pilot level HPC systems. And I will come back to that aspect at the end of my talk. On top of that, we have diverse kind of federation capabilities. A federated identity management so users can access the computers with the same account. And they can reuse the same identities in the rest of IOSC and on the services that we offer. We provide a federated computing capability to move computing workloads around and federated data capability to make data shareable across the compute sites. And on top of that, based on your actual needs or workload or kind of user story, you may want to interact through an interactive computing interface or through scalable clusters, or you may want to do some machine learning, artificial intelligence applications, or manage massive number of jobs. And we work with a growing number of communities, mostly grouped around the main challenges of Europe and the world. And all of this is complemented with a backbone of technical infrastructures that provide accounting, availability and reliability monitoring, a help desk, security oversight for the whole infrastructure in order to make sure that everything is operated in a user-centric and reliable manner. Just to give you a bit of a taste of the scale of where we operate. So I mentioned that in the infrastructure layer, there are three types of computing flavors. There is a cloud infrastructure. Here you can see that it consists of 27 providers. 15 out of that is receiving funding from the project or through the project in the form of virtual access grants. And there are 23 other providers, out of the whole network that are support use cases. We have more than 200 high throughput compute providers in the EGI Federation. A subset of them, a very small subset, only one site, receives funding, and yet 58 are supporting use cases. And we have four pilot-level HPC centers, which is a new part in EGI. We brought the HPC under the same umbrella with this project, so that's the big change that we achieved through this project. On top of these providers, we have the thematic applications, and let me just spend a few minutes on the importance of them. We work with international research communities, very often ERIC institutes that are the heads of international research infrastructures, in order to bring their scientific applications on the infrastructure and to provide scalable online virtual research environments or data spaces, or you call what you want. There are many terminologies for this. With these communities, we build thematic services that are delivered for the scientists. So it's important that we work with a subset of the people from each of these research infrastructures who are enablers of new thematic services for the end users, for the scientists. In the consortium, we have quite a number of these. And on the right side in the pie chart, you can see those additional communities who we onboarded or engaged with during the project, who are also porting scientific applications on the infrastructure to benefit a larger group that they represent as an ERIC or other types of international group. And this right side picture is just a snapshot. That's a growing landscape as we move ahead and serve more and more communities. And how do we serve them? I think that's a critical element in the project, and that's one of the messages I would like to put across. That links to the sustainability of IOSC, which is a heavily discussed question and a topic for many, many years. So let me provide you a view on how we see that sustainable delivery of services in IOSC. We put the services out to user communities in two ways. One is we onboarded them in the IOSC portal, and as I said, we have more than 35 services in the marketplace. What we see is typically single users or small research groups or experimental users from large projects or large communities come there and request access. At the same time, we put out also a web form, which is or EGIS open call, through which communities can, instead of requesting services, they more describe what they want to achieve. Right? So And we take that input and we analyze that input and we translate that to the actual computing and IT capabilities that this group needs. So that's a more a consultancy interface instead of a marketplace type of interface. And we see the benefit here because typically international projects or communities are not sure which services or offering they want to tap into through the EOS marketplace. What they know is what their objective is what they want to achieve. And through this consultancy interface, we found it much more effective to engage with. And no matter to which channel we receive the input, what we try to do is to analyze the use cases and find the most appropriate providers and experts to serve a given use case. And here the funding comes into the play. So if a user or a user community comes to us and would like to request X thousand or million CPU hours of a specific type maybe, or some GPUs or some storage for a given duration, then which provider shall we choose from our network? We take into consideration who is legally, nationally, or institutionally committed to serve that particular user community, because there is a match in the national policies or national priorities to serving that given discipline or that given European project. And we try to make this matchmaking based on that exact national or institutional policies. Because if we use those commitments that are already in place, then we can rely on local funding for the compute delivery, instead of burning the virtual access funding, which is limited both in time and in scale. So we try to use the local funding and bringing the users to their, let's say, national compute power and national communities or national infrastructure as much as possible, and do the international access only where the use case or the expertise is lacking nationally. Okay. With that approach, we minimize the stress on the virtual access funding and we build long-term commitment between the scientific communities and the compute communities. So that's a very important message. But what this requires is that we can freely move the users to the national compute center. And if we are operating in a open science scenario, then this basically boils down to, can I use that user identity to the national compute center? Can I empower the user to move the data sets he or she needs for the computing to the national compute center? Can I move the applications or scientific code that that particular user needs onto the national compute center? So this portability of identities, data sets, and applications is a foundational assumption and I think it should be a key goal to achieve by the technical projects. So we approach that space in EGIS by working with these compute providers and putting in place standards and open practices that enable the single sign-on across the federation. We use a check-in service particularly for that, which is one of the EOS or R-compliant authentication proxies. We use Data Hub and connect the clouds of our network into that, so then a national user can pull in data from any other EOS repository, let's say, and use the local computing capacity which was already committed by the National Compute Center for that user, but still benefit from scientific data or scientific applications that are the best in Europe or worldwide. So this is the way how we level out the playing field across countries. And we run this cloud integration program during the whole project, and you can see some of the logos are from the NIFOS members. Some of them are working with us exactly on this vision and connecting their national clouds into this backbone in order to benefit their national users through the technical integration. If you are interested in this, you can join this cloud integration program as well. You can find the guideline and also the kind of vision description with a vision statement on that URL. One example that I want to bring up is from Hungary. We work with the Hungarian Ötvös Loránd Kutatóhálózat Cloud on this, which is the network of research centers in Hungary. They have a central OpenStack installation, which through three phases of delivery now is in operation, in full-scale operation since 21. And basically, they are paid by the national government to serve Hungarian researchers and their appropriate international collaborators. Through the project, we are not enforcing any other access policy on them. They can still serve the Hungarian researchers and their international collaborators. However, through this connection to the identity, the data, and the application replications, they are able to serve international projects that have some Hungarian aspect. And we already work on two use cases. One is from AI for Public Policy, Horizon 2020 project, and another is a community of practice called Open Biomaps, which is to a big extent led from the University of Debrecen, but also has many non-Hungarian members in it. So through the integration, the workloads can be the applications and data can be ported to the Hungarian cloud and can benefit from the capacity here. Overall in the project, in EGIS, we are quite successful with the service delivery. So overall there is a pretty high demand for these 35 or so services that we have in the EOS marketplace. Both through the marketplace and through the EGIS online call, we have a continuous increase of submissions. During the last few months, there was a kind of decline to a big extent because we stopped the marketing a bit. Now we see that we cannot just scale up with the support demand if we continue like that. Because this support, this human layer, is an important element in this overall open science facilitation. This pipeline shows the stages through which we support any incoming user request. So first, as I said, we have this assessment of the use case, try to understand... So we try to understand the technical capabilities needed. Then we assign a so-called shepherd who will be the owner of that use case from the project. That person is responsible for implementing this use case. So that's, in industry, it's called a customer success manager. Here we call it shepherd. But the point is that this shepherd's responsibility is to make the user successful. And it's achieved through launching of what we call a competence center, which is basically an ad hoc subgroup from the project and from the partnership who can deliver the services and support that this particular use case requires. And then through that delivery and implementation, we have the design and then validation. And then if the use case requires the onboarding of a new thematic service as the outcome in EOS, then that can happen. Sometimes the use case is just about getting my job done, getting my research done, and I publish a paper. That's also a possible outcome. Another aspect of the support is the training, and let me just share a very, very recent regional success here. 2 weeks ago, we ran a hybrid summer school in Romania and online for a network of universities, where in the 3 days we had an introduction to e-infrastructures, security best practices for providers and users on using computing. We analyzed local use cases and science cases that they brought to the event, and we also trained them on IT service management, so if the local compute centers want to become providers, then what should be the good practices for them. So we organized such training courses as well in order to boost both the supplier and the user side in this landscape. Let me just move on a bit. In terms of what are the most demanded services from the 35, this word cloud just shows proportionally to the size of the text which were the most demanded through the marketplace and through the open call. And one aspect is the cloud. So the normal cloud computing, let's say, the same thing that Amazon offers or Google offers, sometimes it says. However, because of this support that I mentioned earlier, that's the added value of doing the cloud computing through the EGIS way versus the commercial way. Through the EGIS way, we integrate the user support plus the brokering to the national compute centers into the overall support process. And that's the huge added value to the research communities who are not expert on using commercial cloud providers and who should pay a fortune to get even similar number of support hours. So the foundational cloud compute cycle uptake is shown on this diagram, you can see that this uptake didn't start with EGIS. In the previous project where EGI was involved with similar activities, this increase was already visible. With EGIS, we continue this, brought this into the next level. The main message I would like to put across here is that out of the nearly 100 million CPU hours that we delivered since the start of the project, half of that came from the local funding, thanks to this brokering mechanism that tries to send a user to the national compute centers or compute centers where there is a matching interest, irrespective of whether they are paid from the commission budget or not. So this is really a win-win situation for both the commission, the compute centers, and even the researchers, because we lower the stress on the international money exchange, and also we build long-term relationships between computing and research. And let me close with this slide, which is our longer-term vision on how computing should operate in EOSC. And I'm touching on the EuroHPC point, which was raised earlier, how we see this fitting into a coherent picture. So now Europe has capacities that are fragmented through funding channels and, or nationally and other ways. Some key initiatives that I have here. So the EGI network of providers who I covered in this talk. The EuroHPC network of supercomputers, which is continually growing, and the capacity there is owned by the countries and owned by the Commission. We have things like the procurement in EOSC Future, which just had a webinar yesterday, opening a 2 million call to distribute compute capacity for researchers. Through this federation or portability activities that I presented, if we bring that to the next level, we can reach a technical integration across all these facilities, which means that the user identities can be migrated, data could be migrated, and applications could be migrated between all these environments. And once that's in place, then we could take the experience from EGIS concerning this shepherding, this use case support, the capacity allocation by choosing the most appropriate compute site, compute flavor for a given scientific community and use case, and then bring everything under the same umbrella in EOSC, serving the use cases with the most appropriate, technically, financially, instrument from the compute layer. So that would empower countries, for example, Hungary, which has a national roadmap. And according to that national roadmap, the ministry already stated which are the priority scientific research infrastructures that the country wants to support. So on that national roadmap, there are XMLite infrastructure, Clarin, EPOS, EXFIL, ESS, IRIS, to name a few. Once we have this technical infrastructure in place with this integrated user support, then we can make allocations that are matching the national priorities. So then the Hungarian compute centers can share their capacity in order to back up the national roadmap and distributing the compute and storage capacity according to the high-level priorities that are defined there. So with this, I would like to thank you for your attention, and the key messages have been, I think, all made.